Well, one of the things that I am sorry happens because we worship in two different settings at 8:30 and then at 10:45 is that this morning there will be several people being baptized and you won't get to be part of that unless you come back, which you're welcome to do. But you know, it's such a blessing, I know, to hear those baptisms. I think we'll be baptizing four people this morning. Three of them will be, Coach Miller will be baptizing. They are young folks who've come to know the Lord, and they've been part of the Northridge Basketball Academy, which is a ministry of our church, and many, many young folks are coming to Christ through that ministry and are being discipled, and so we're encouraging them to take that next step of baptism. So these are some folks who don't normally attend our church on a Sunday morning, but their connection with us is through the Basketball Academy, and they're going to be baptized here this morning. Then there's another young woman who does attend our church, and probably most of you have not yet met her. Let me just quickly tell you her story, since you may not be here at the second service. Her name is Brianna, and Brianna showed up a couple of months ago on a Sunday morning, just kind of all by herself, a beautiful young woman, a student at NC State University, and she showed up here, didn't seem to have any connection, just quietly came and went to church, and a few of our young ladies reached out to her and befriended her, and she came back the next week, and we heard a little more of her story. She's in the fashion major at NC State. She'd been in Italy studying fashion, come back to Raleigh, which is her home, had been out on the Greenway walking and met someone she described as an older gentleman on a bicycle who invited her to church. And so she came, and this man had given her his name and said, I work in the sound booth at my church, so when you come, look for me, that's where I'll be. So she'd been here for a couple weeks, and she inquired about this man. We said, we've never heard of him. So apparently you're at the wrong church, but believe me, you're at the right church. So she was invited to go to our young adult small group, and she went there, and at the end of that group time, they were praying for one another, and they were just saying, hey, how can we pray for each other? And she spoke up and said something to the effect that, well, I need to know how I can know God. And so they explained it to her, kind of gave her the plan of salvation without any pressure, and just kind of left that with her. Also invited her to Feast and Feast. You should know that Feast and Feast is a gathering of between 40 and 50 or so young adults, upper high school, college age, who get together every Monday night. Some of them are from our church. Some young folks from our church really are the ones who kind of got this thing going. But from all over Raleigh, they come, churched, unchurched, representing many, many different fellowships. And God's doing some great things at Feast and Feast every Monday night. They feast, they eat, they have a meal together, and then they feast on the Word of God. So at any rate, she went to Feast and Feast and gave her heart to the Lord there, and has been coming and growing in the Lord. And so she will be inviting her parents. She's from an Italian Catholic family, very nominally Catholic, and she's hoping some of those that folks will come and be part of the service with us later this morning. So as you think of it, you pray for Brianna's family, that the Lord will continue to open doors there. It's just so wonderful to hear those stories of how God is working and drawing people to himself and orchestrating things in ways that we couldn't even imagine to make his name known and to draw people to Christ. And we want to be increasingly part of that. We want to fan that flame. And we want to be in a place where this is a church where people feel very welcome. And that's one of the reasons you see up on the screen the renovation project. We recognize that our building and grounds look a little tired and dated, and so we want to really update them in a way that just increases the welcome quotient of our church, and lets people know that, hey, every Sunday is somebody's first Sunday. And so we want to communicate that well. So continue to pray about all those things, And I wanted to share that with you. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at a verse in 1 Peter 2:24, in which we were examining it kind of almost word by word. Just to remind you, it went like this: He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds were healed. So we spent Sunday morning just kind of examining that verse. And then the following Sunday, last Sunday, we're back in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, and we were looking at a verse there where there's a great promise that the Lord himself goes before us. He'll be with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Great, great verses of Scripture. And without really intending to, as I've been thinking back over that and kind of thinking, Lord, where do you want us to be going kind of in preaching themes, I realize that those are the kind of verses that give us a place to stand, a truth under our feet. And we live in a world that's in turmoil. It's in turmoil, and there's great uncertainty in the air, globally, nationally, and for many of us personally. In our world, in our global world, there's great uncertainty. Nations are vying for positions of power, trying to outdo one another and get advantage. And we see the world powers kind of aligning themselves with Russia and China, and then rogue nations like some in the Middle East or North Korea. And we watch kind of the global uncertainty, aware of the fact that the whole global situation could change very, very rapidly. And nationally, we're kind of in this new place with our new president, and no matter what you think about him, the reality is that there's a great deal of uncertainty about how we go forward. And personally, I know, because I know what's going on in many of your lives, that many of you are facing very, very challenging circumstances in your own personal lives. We need a place to stand where there's something solid and firm under our feet. And it's so wonderful to be able to turn to the Word of God and stand on verses like 1 Peter 2:24 or Deuteronomy 31:8. And this morning I want to take you to another verse that speaks about the hope that we have in Christ, and that's in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And that verse simply says this: May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be people of hope. Hope for today, and hope for tomorrow. It seems to me that every season of life brings with it particular dangers. Let me just speak. This is very broad generalities here that probably in many individual cases would not apply. But it seems to me that one of the dangers when in our youth is the danger of discouragement. Youth, we're idealistic, we have great dreams and plans, and off we go, and suddenly we discover that the world is not always kind to our dreams and plans and to our idealism. And so one of the dangers of youth, simply because we haven't lived enough yet, is discouragement. When the hard things come, we lose perspective of the larger picture, and we tend toward discouragement. When you come into middle age, it seems to me that the greater danger at that point becomes disillusionment. Sometimes you reach that age and some of your dreams have died, and your life isn't working out the way you always thought it was going to work out. And there have been some really hard things along the way. And it's very easy to fall into kind of a disillusionment at that point. And then as you move through and the older years, I think one of the danger becomes that you just can easily start to drift. Sometimes you're still, you know, you realize you've kind of reached your peak in terms of your career or whatever. You're still too young to retire, and so it's easy just to kind of put it on cruise control and just start to drift. And then when you become kind of reach that, what we might call old age, I think the danger then for all of us becomes fear. There's a whole new set of things that we're now fearful of. We're fearful about losing our health. We're fearful about losing our mental abilities. We're fearful of running out of money. There's just all kinds of things that become fearful for us. So as we look at those, again, speaking of those broad generalities, what's the antidote to that? Well, in terms of the discouragement of youth, I think sometimes the need is simply for discipline, to get up every morning and do what needs to be done and keep at it. For the disillusionment of middle age, it's faithfulness. We need to be faithful to who we are and who God's called us to be, and not allow ourselves to sink into the despair of disillusionment, but just be faithful to God. And then when we move into that age when we tend to drift, we need new depth in our life. We need to learn to walk deeply with God and allow Him to mold us and shape us and keep our eyes upon Him. And that's the antidote to drifting, is increased depth in our walk with God. But what about the fear that comes calling? I think the antidote to that is hope. We need to be people who have a great hope. And Romans chapter 15, let me back up a verse to verse 12. Where Paul is quoting from the book of Isaiah, a prophecy that says, the root of Jesse, and we know that's Jesus, Messiah, the root of Jesse, Jesus, will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. Gentiles will become followers of Jesus. They will become those who now have their hope in him. And then he goes on to say in verse 13 that we read a moment ago, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we immediately see that there's a Trinitarian aspect to this hope here. Jesus is the hope of the Gentiles there in verse 12. Verse 13, the larger, more general term of simply the God of hope is spoken of. And at the end of that verse is spoken of the hope that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we think of the hope that we have in God, the God of all hope, and we think of the Trinity of God, let's just think through this for a moment. What is it about God our Father that causes hope to rise within us? Well, is it not, first and foremost, that God is our Father, that we have a Father who loves us? How glorious that is. I remember when my parents were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary numbers of years ago now, and I'm one of seven children, so it was a big gathering. Us, our, you know, their seven kids and spouses and grandchildren, and there were a bunch of us there for their 50th anniversary, and we were meeting at a campground and had planned this thing that went over the entire weekend, and so on Sunday morning, my dad, who is a pastor, he preached. We had a family worship service, and my dad preached, and before he did that, he started with an apology. Since this was a setting in which he was able to talk to all of his children and sons and daughters-in-laws and grandchildren all in one place, he began by expressing his regret that he wished that he had been more consistent in expressing verbally his love for us. So I wish I had just said far more often, I love you. Well, he was kind of that World War II generation where men were kind of stoic and didn't always show as much emotion as we tend to these days. And so that was not something that came easily to him, to give expression to that. But it surprised me when he said it for this reason. It had never occurred to me Never once in my life had I wondered if my father loved me. I knew he loved me. I had no doubt about that. The thought that he loved me was so settled in my mind that it had never occurred to me that he had very infrequently said that. Isn't it wonderful? Some of you have grown up in homes where you did not have a father who loved you. And what a blessing it is to grow up in a home where there is a man of God who is caring for his family, loving his wife, loving his children. Listen, God loves you. He so loved you that he sent his own son. Remember that passage there in Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus is speaking and he says in verse 9, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven good gifts to those who ask him? As feeble and inconsistent as earthly fathers are, even at our best, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? It's a wonderfully reassuring, hope-filled thing to know that we have a Father who loves us. Likewise, it fills us with hope when we look at God the Son and say we have a Savior who redeemed us. That he hung on the cross for us. He died our death for us. He bore our sin for us. He took our place. It was for us. So that we might in this present life, right now, today, walk in victory over sin. Know that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But in the life to come, know that there is a glory that is awaiting. And earlier, Dustin read to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul says, if for this life alone, you know, we have hope, then we're most miserable. But he goes on to say, no, our hope, settled on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is not just for this life alone, but it's for all that is yet to come. Earlier generations of Christians used to speak of the blessed hope by which they were talking about all that yet remains ahead of us, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming reign, what it means to be with the Lord forever, the one who's gone to prepare a place for us so that where he is, we can be with him. There's this glorious, glorious hope, and we don't talk about that often enough. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know with certainty that one day I'm going to be with him forever. Jesus died. He rose from the dead. It's settled. It's cared for. The victory's been won. And as a follower of Jesus, having put my faith in him and known the gift of his eternal life, now the new birth that's taken place in me, I have a hope that's eternal in scope. Because I have a Father who loves me. And I have a Savior who redeemed me. And there's a Holy Spirit who is with me. Last week we were looking at that passage from Deuteronomy 31. The Lord will go before you. He'll be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we looked at that time there in the upper room when the disciples were feeling this sense of panic. Jesus has told them he's leaving. What do you mean you're leaving? We've left everything to follow you and now you're abandoning us. And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. He'll be with you. Gives the Great Commission, all authority in heaven and earth, go make disciples. And he says, and I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Go wait in the city of Jerusalem. Don't go wait until what has been promised has come. And they wait there and the Holy Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost. And God fills his people with his own spirit, with his presence. What hope there is in that. We're not left to ourselves. It's not up to us to figure this out on our own or somehow make it all work. But God puts his spirit within us. How glorious. As you read that passage there in Romans 15, just back up for a moment with me to verse 4. If you still have it open before you there, Romans 15, look at verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. There is an encouragement of the scriptures that fills us with hope. Isn't that glorious? I mean, if you are consistent in your time with the Lord in the Word, you know exactly what he's talking about. You've experienced that. You do experience that. You know that the encouragement that the Scripture gives and the blessing we receive, and in the encouragement of the Scriptures, we find hope. Listen, you have a Father who loves you. He sent his Son to redeem you. He's poured out his Spirit who is with you. He's given you his Word to encourage you in hope. He's the God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking to my own heart here, as well as to yours, when I say to myself, do not give in to discouragement, to fear, to anxiety. Remember there in John 10 when Jesus tells the story about the sheep and the shepherd? He says, there's a thief who tries to sneak in another way, but the man who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, and the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. The sheep listens to the voice of the shepherd. Now, that's not the only voice out there. There is also the voice of the thief. But the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads him out. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice, and they won't follow the stranger. But the reality is that we can start to listen to that voice of the stranger. We can start to listen to the voice of discouragement. We can start to listen to the voice of fear. We can start to listen to the voice of anxiety. And that is not the voice of the shepherd. And so we need to choose. We need to choose not to listen to those voices. Those voices get louder in the middle of the night when you wake up and the fear starts to press in and the worry comes. We need to say, no, I am a person of hope. I have a Father who loves me. I have a Savior who's redeemed me. I have a Spirit who is with me. I have the Word of God that encourages me. I'm called to be a person of hope. I may be in a miserable place. Physically, I may be a mess. I may have problems in my family that are overwhelming to me. I may have financial burdens that are scaring me. But the fact of the matter is that I can't allow myself to listen to those voices. Those are not the voices of the shepherd. And I need to listen to the voice of the shepherd. God gives us a place to stand. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we're healed. We can stand on that. The Lord himself goes before you. He will be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be fear or dismayed. We can stand on that. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand on that. Let's stand on that. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, I thank you for just the wonderful, wonderful presence of God in our lives. The hope of heaven, the promise of your presence. Lord, I just pray this morning that we will say, no, here's where I stand this morning. I will not listen to those voices of the thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. I will listen to the voice of my shepherd who calls me by name and leads me out. You are the God of hope. Lord, may that hope fill our hearts this morning. We praise you. We love you. And we rest in you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.